Yeah, Mom.
I have to say, when we sang Unto Thee, O Lord, that was a flashback to me. I don't like to sing. I'm getting more as I get older. I like it a little bit more. But I remember when I was in high school, that was one of the few songs when we'd have Devos that I would enjoy singing. And for some reason, I flashed back to Lafayette, Indiana, West Lafayette, or Lafayette, however you want to pronounce it, depending on who you're, where you're from and how you speak. I think it's Lafayette. That's what I go with. Anyways, it was like I was sitting in that room singing that song. Side note, I don't know why I had to tell you that, but one of the goals when I get up and speak is that I hope that my lesson is applicable, relatable, and that all can understand. And so I hope this morning that the message I bring you will be that. We have so many talented speakers here that can dive into the Word and can give you a lot of earth-shattering, groundbreaking stuff. But for me, mine's more about taking a message and making it to where you can walk out here and say, you know what, I remember what he said, and hopefully I can apply it to my life. So hopefully this morning, I entitled this morning's lesson, Winging It. Winging It. Because that is something that I've probably become accustomed to in my life until recently, I guess. Winging It. Let me give you some personal examples. I'll never forget 11th grade. If you know me, you know I'm not very academically inclined. I walked into a class, and I'll never forget, and I sat down, and we had a test that day over the book Cold Sassy Tree. I don't know what the book's about because I never read it. And those that believe in Cliff Notes, that doesn't work. I walked in, and I thought, well, I'll just ask somebody beside me, hey, what's the name of the characters? What's the setting? And I'll wing it. Doesn't happen. If you believe that you can go in and take a test without reading a book and you'll pass, you got either the easiest teacher in the world or you are the best guesser. I failed that miserably. So you'd think Sean would learn. College comes around. I walked into class. If I didn't like the teacher, I didn't study. I didn't know it. And I had this class over the book of Romans, and it wasn't Jimmy Allen. I stayed away from him because I knew I'd have to study. So I took this other guy. And I walk in one day, and I'm like, why has everybody got their notes out? And I walked in with nothing, like I normally did. I was like, hey, what are you doing? We got a test today. We do? Needless to say, there's another example where winging it did not happen. Failed that one, too. Life goes on. I continue to wing it. It's been recently. Dave and I used to teach class until he abandoned me to go to the middle school level. And never came back. You know, he used to say, well, I got to go out in the hall and talk to Tim Hargrove, or I got to go out in the hall and talk to somebody, or there's a situation arise. And then he just said, oh, I'm going to teach another class. But he used to do these lessons. Well, he's the PowerPoint guru, so I'd say, well, just make up a PowerPoint, send it to me, and then I'll teach class at night. Yeah, sounds like a great teacher, huh? The problem is, you better look over the slides before you teach, because there were several times I'd be like, yeah, and look back, and that was not what I was thinking, and I'd have to explain myself. And then my last example before we get in the lesson is the ultimate. And we just told this story a couple weeks ago. We were talking. When I was in high school, we went hiking in the mountains. And we were going to go backpacking and stay. And I thought that I was prepared because I took advice from a camper or a hiker. And Blake and I, Dave were sharing this. And I got there, and we got there, and we were told not to take anything. Some trail mix and some ramen noodles and stuff, and a sleeping roll. And it was middle of July. Well, no problem. Until we got there the first night, and it was like 40 degrees. All we had was a sleeping roll. All we had was some trail mix and some ramen noodles, which were gone. I ate all my trail mix like first four steps into the thing, and I was out of food, and I had no blanket. And neither did Blake. So you can mindless to say, if you're not prepared in life, winging it sometimes is not going to cut it. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. There is a story in the Bible, a parable, that I'm going to lead in with, and then we'll, just to get the mindset, and then we'll go on from there. But turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. You guys have read this probably many times, but and I know it talks about being prepared when Jesus is coming, but I want you to just think about being prepared as we read this. Think about winging it. It says starting in verse 1 of Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come to meet him." Then all the virgins woke and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go out to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were away, on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." We're going to focus on being prepared. We're going to focus on being prepared spiritually in our life so that when things happen in our life, we're prepared. And that's where we're going to go with. But I want to ask you this. Are we guilty of winging it? Just think about it in your life. Are you guilty of winging it? Probably not in every situation like I am. You probably learn from your mistakes. But let's just think about this for a second. What makes us wing it? What makes us unprepared for a lot of things? Listen to some of these things I came up with. And there's thousands of them, and you might agree and disagree with these. Overconfidence. I'll be honest with you. I wing a lot of lessons because I've become overconfident of the fact that I can come up with a lesson and do it. The problem is that overconfidence, if you're not prepared in life, will eventually backfire on you. Think about this. Lack of knowledge. Sometimes we just don't know enough, and we're winging it, thinking we can get by. You ever seen that commercial? The guy's performing surgery, and they're like, "Are you a doctor?" "No, I stayed in a Holiday Inn or something like that. I don't even know the hotel chain. I'm a great representative here." Laziness. When you go think of laziness, maybe it's not laziness, it's my guiltiness, is procrastination. What about lack of experience? Maybe sometimes we're just unaware, we're blinded, we just have no clue. No discipline. And as my guilty, as I continue to say, is it, or maybe we're just good at winging it, so we succeeded a couple of times, so we continue to do it. And I think that's what happens in life. We learn to wing it, that we don't prepare ourselves. And so then when something comes along and it hits us, we're like, "Well, I wasn't prepared for that." And we're like, "Well, what happens?" And a lot of times in life, people get to that situation, and you know what the first thing that goes away from them is their spirituality. Because they weren't prepared. And so their first thing is to turn angry to who? God. But was it God's fault, or was it the fact that you weren't prepared? Because God never promises that things are going to be easy. But we have to be prepared. And so there's a great proverb that I found. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter, or Proverbs 6. The sixth proverb, chapter of Proverbs, however you want to say it. And I never thought about this illustration until I read this and read it again. But listen to this about how we are sometimes opposite of an ant. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11 says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways to be wise. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." Never really thought about an ant. All I know is I like to step on them, and there's a thousand of them, but they're strong little dudes. They carry those crumbs on their back, and you're like, "Wow," but they prepare for the future. And how often are we like the sluggard who sits around and we're lazy and we just don't prepare? Because, well, A, maybe we think, "Well, it's not going to happen to me." B, "Well, I'll get around to it." Our minds become like that. And the more we become like that, the more in our life we continue to let that overrun us until we become to the point where when things happen, we just fall apart. I tell you, though, I think this is where a lot of us fall. I think we're prepared for some things and not prepared for others. What are some things that we're prepared for? We say, oh, I got it covered. We're real good about the forecast, aren't we? Weather-wise, we're going somewhere, what do? Check the weather, right? Well, first of all, don't check the weather here in Nashville because they don't get it right 9 times out of 10. Okay, but we look at it. Okay, it's going to be rainy, so I need my rain stuff. It's going to be cold, so I need my cold gear. It's going to be hot. So we think we're prepared for that, right? We're like, oh, I got weather covered. I've looked at the forecast. I'm going on vacation to Florida next week. I know it's going to be 85 on Monday, 84 on Tuesday, chance of rain 20% on Wednesday. We've got it covered. And I packed for that. But how many of you in life have ever gone on vacation or gone somewhere and the forecast completely wrong? And you get there and you prepared for nothing but hot weather and it's ice cold. And you have nothing because you're not prepared enough. Some of you might be on the flip side of that. You're overprepared. And you're like the ones that go on the mission trips with us in the summer. And they get in there and they've got like, I'll never forget Lamont. We went on a retreat, Lamont Senior, a couple years ago. And we're going for a one-night camp for our camp leaders. He comes out with this suitcase and like another bag. And I'm like, I got my car and I'm picking. I take my own car to take the luggage for these kids for one night. And I'm like, what do you need all this for? I'm prepared for anything. It could have been cold. It could have been hot. He had it covered. I think another thing we're good at, students, is test. We know when a test's coming. Opposite of me, you know when your tests are coming. So you prepare, don't you? Oh, I got a test coming. I'm going to study. What's the worst thing, though, that we get busted as kids? What's the thing that teachers like to do that always get you, you're not prepared for? What do they call those things? Maybe they don't do them no more. Pop quizzes. Do you guys still do those? Thank you, Ernest. The rest of them said no. I hate pop quizzes. Pop quizzes, we're not prepared for them. Why? Because we don't think about it because it's not on the thing. But test, a teacher says, you're going to have a test next Friday. Okay, I need to study. Interviews. You don't go into an interview unprepared, do you? You might get into an interview with Jeff, and he totally throw a side curveball on you, but you go into it ready to be interviewed. So you do your best to be prepared. You think about big events. Nobody goes into their wedding winging it, do they? Maybe they do. I haven't been there yet. Maybe I'll be the one. They do it the night before. You don't go to your funeral, I guess, winging it either. You're prepared for that because you're dead. And the last thing is, for most people, speaking engagements. If you know that you got to speak somewhere, you got to present, are you going to prepare? Yeah, I'm not talking like class or maybe even an average Sunday, but you've got a big thing that you've got to present. Maybe it's a report at school. Maybe it's a presentation in front of your company. Whatever it is, you prepare for it. So we've got it covered. And then there's a lot of things in life. We could go on for hours talking about things that we've got it covered. But then there's things in life where we don't think about. And here's where I think this is where being prepared daily will make a difference in your life and spiritually being prepared. And it's the unexpected. And we hear about these constantly on day after day after day. And I'm not going to get into a lot of them because you know it. But here's where people are winging it through life. And when something bad happens, their spirituality falls because they weren't prepared. Listen to some of these things. And these are so relevant to the time. Loss of job. Death to someone close. An illness. The effect of sin, maybe your own sin or someone else's sin that affects your life. Failure. An accident. A disaster. Major expenses. Think about all those things. We know they're a very big possibility, and day after day we think more and more, wow, these are really a possibility. But how prepared are we for those things in life? So, let's get into my ideals on how to avoid winging it. Not that I'm a master of it, but I can tell you I know the effects of winging it. So maybe if you listen to my experiences, you won't show up for a test in life unprepared. Let's think about these, and then we'll look at some more scripture. You think if you have knowledge, you'll be better at avoiding winging it? you'll be more prepared. If you have knowledge of things going on in your life, you're aware of things around you, you'll be more prepared. What about experience? The more you experience something, the better you're at it. Advice. Outside of the advice I told you about the guy gave me about going camping, most of the time, if you take advice from the right people, you'll be more prepared. Warning. Looking out for the warnings. This is something I'll share with you. A couple weeks ago, we had those severe storms come through. And this is really weird. I've never been scared of storms in my life. Never. I'm fascinated by them. But I was sitting there and living in an apartment in Mass. And for the first time, I guess the sirens got me scared. And so thankfully, I have a friend that I could text. And he could tell me if there was going to be a storm really hit my house or my apartment or not. But warnings in life make us more prepared if you take heed of planning, savings, training, discipline. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13. Actually, I'll probably read it by the time you get there, but it says this, be on guard, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Paul is kind of closing out 1 Corinthians, and his advice is be on guard. Be prepared for things. Everybody's situation is different, but be prepared. And so we're going to focus on some passages that talk about being prepared. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. If you listen to this, this is a little lengthy, but if you listen to this, there's a lot of good wisdom that comes from this on being prepared. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at 1 through 13. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding He sent the heavens in place. By His knowledge the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let the drop the dew. A lot in there, but it simply to me stands out as the more we're prepared in life, the more we lean on the Lord, and we spiritually are prepared, the more we'll be able to go through. Here's what I'm really coming at this morning. I brought up all those examples because if you are spiritually prepared in life, you can overcome those things. Just think about this. If you do those things, but you do it, let me just go back to the things I talked about as my advice. And think about this more on a spiritual thing. The more knowledge we have in the Bible, the more we're going to be prepared for situations. Now, I'm not saying that if you have all these things mastered, that you're not going to be, that everything's going to be easy and you're going to overcome it all, but you're going to be able to be prepared enough that you'll make it through. So knowledge. Experience. How do you get experience? Well, the more you're around other Christians, the more you do things for the Lord, the more experience you have, the advice of other Christians. Think about that. Spiritually, advice from others that you respect can make you prepared for the future. Planning. Do you ever plan about your spiritual future? Do you set goals for your spiritual future? Do you even think about your spiritual future? Awareness. Are you aware of what's around you, what's going on in your life that could be affecting you spiritually? Are you training yourself spiritually? Are you disciplined spiritually? I think the more we focus on being prepared spiritually, the better off we'll be in the long run. Because when things do come, when loss of job, when financial burdens, when sins affect us, when tragedy happens, yeah, we're going to have rough times, but we're going to have that spiritual preparation to get us through. So in conclusion, think about this. We need to be spiritually prepared, which will make us emotionally, mentally, and physically prepared for our life here on earth. And just remember, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's just going to be able to make it through. I'm going to read one passage, and this will be your invitation. And just remember this. One thing that's most important from the invitation is this. There is no winging it on Judgment Day. You either know the Lord or you don't. You either follow the Lord or you didn't. But there's no winging it. And on Judgment Day, don't be like me and stand there and say, oh, there's a test? No. And you don't start preparation tomorrow. You start it now. So let me read this passage. The invitation will be yours. And this kind of goes a little bit around in a longabout way, but you'll hopefully catch where I'm going with this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert, or maybe you may say be prepared, of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered... Let me read that again. I read it wrong. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Prepare yourself today so that when the time comes, you can go to heaven and you'll be prepared and you'll spend eternity with your Father. But God doesn't say wait until the end. He says be now. Now is the time. Constantly, it always talks about now. Let's not be the Shawns of the world and let's not wing it through life thinking we've got it all. Let's actually prepare ourselves. So if you have the desire to turn your life over to the Lord, this is the time. If you've fallen away, you're struggling with things, maybe you've gone through some things you weren't prepared, the time and place is always here at Echo Hills because we'll help you get through it. We've got great people here that have a lot of advice to give you. We have a lot of encouragers. We have everything here you need. So whatever your desire is, come forward now as together we stand and sing.